Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
You're listening to Retaking Elysium, a Mars Consortium story, written and read by M. Darusha Wame. Chapter 11. Ugh, Jules said, the twinkling of the alarm ringing forcing them out of the depth of sleep. Can you do something about that? It felt like a tiny Mars quake hit the bed as Marvin rolled out the other side to find the source of the noise. He eventually found Jules's handheld under the table and tapped it silent. Jules opened an eye to watch Marvin pad around the apartment, his one-piece sleep suit hugging his body here and there. It was much more effective than the alarm. "I don't want to go to work," Jules complained as they shuffled up to a sitting position, but Marvin had disappeared into the bathroom. Jules stretched and accepted the reality of the morning and set about finding their clothes. By the time Marvin returned, Jules was dressed and tugging on one boot. "Thanks for letting me stay," they said, suddenly shy. Marvin bent down, took Jules's chin in his hand, and lightly kissed their lips. "Thank you for not pushing," he said, softly tracing a finger over the neckline of his outfit. "Of course," Jules said, then ran their eyes up and down Marvin's body. "Besides, I've seen you naked before, along with half of Mars." Marvin smiled and stepped back. "You've seen me without clothes," he corrected. Jules didn't entirely understand the distinction, but they knew it meant something important to Marvin. "Keeping it casual is fine with me," Jules went on. "We'll have fun while it's fun, and that's it. Nothing lasts forever, right?" Jules thought they saw a change in Marvin's eyes, but his smile never faltered. "I'd better get going," Jules said. They had to get back to their own apartment, shower and change before making their shift at work. It would be tight, but it had been worth it. "I'll stop by the bar after work." Marvin nodded. "I'd like that," he said, then kissed Jules again, longer this time. It was hard to leave, but Jules managed, eventually. It was a tough shift, between the new quotas they were asked to meet and Jules's lack of sleep. But they made it through and found themselves perking up at the thought of seeing Marvin again. The Mars bar was already starting to get crowded when Jules arrived, and they knew that Marvin still had a few hours left on his shift. They didn't want to make more work for him by getting in the way, so after saying hello and getting a beer, they scanned the room to see if there was anyone else they knew. A bunch of the miniature giants Jules's old co-worker Carla had gone on about were hanging around the pool tables in the back. Jules wasn't sure there were any actual billiard games in progress, and the voices were developing the volume that indicated that either a fight or a declaration of love was about to break out. Maybe both. Jules found a corner to lean against out of splatter range to watch the show. The taller of the two most vocal putative pool players gave the other one a shove, sloshing the only slightly smaller one's drink almost out of the glass. The others gathered around all froze, and Jules found they were leaning forward even though they could see just fine. After what seemed like an overly dramatic pause, the victim of the not-quite-spilled drink bellowed a laugh and threw an arm around the taller one. Hugs and laughter surged through the group and Jules turned away, pleased that it was all in fun, but secretly a bit disappointed that the entertainment was over. It wasn't that they'd wanted to see an all-out bar brawl, exactly. More that they were getting a bit tired of everyone being so well-behaved on Mars. Where was the passion? As they sipped their beer, they scanned the rest of the after-shift crowd. The usual knots of workmates winding down were broken up by twos and small groups, clearly looking for love or lust. Fair enough, that's why Jules was there, after all. As they were pulling out their handheld for a book to pass the time, one larger group caught their eye. A pale-haired white woman was holding court over a large table filled with people who didn't really fit the other profiles. They didn't seem to be similar enough to be workmates, and there was a complete lack of a sexy vibe. She was gesturing constantly, but in a reserved manner, as if she were trying to avoid being conspicuous. The others were listening closely, an older, compact man occasionally interjecting. For all the world, it looked almost like a business meeting. A hand landed on Jules' shoulder, making them jump. "I'm sorry," Marvin said, his smile making those adorable creases at the corners of his eyes. "I didn't mean to startle you." "It's fine," Jules said, leaning up for a kiss. "You always surprise me." Marvin frowned. "I do?" Keeps things interesting." "Oh." A slight hint of color appeared in Marvin's cheeks. "See," Jules said, triumphant. "That's what I mean. Who would have thought anything I said could make you blush?" "You know most of what I do is acting, right?" Marvin said, sliding onto the seat next to Jules. "At all my jobs. I'm playing the part of a person who is happy to serve. I mean, even my name is part of the act."
"It is?"
"Sure. Back on Earth, when I was already contracted to come up here, but before I left, I was working at this club. My friend Sandy suggested I ought to use it, the whole Mars shtick. So I worked up this routine, Marvin the Martian, complete with green body paint and those dealy bopper antennae." He wiggled his fingers over his head and laughed. "It was silly, but folks loved it. Tips were excellent that week." "How come you still use the name?" Jules asked. Marvin shrugged. "I got used to it. Plus, I've never liked my wallet name. Actually, it was my favorite part of that gig. It was the only part of it which felt like me." "You do like your work, don't you?" Jules asked, concerned. "Oh, sure," Marvin said, the confident manner returning. "But it's not the real me, you know? Honestly, that's part of the appeal of all my jobs. I get to make people happy without having to really open myself up. It's a lot less vulnerable than..." He looked away. "Than real life." Jules took Marvin's hand and squeezed lightly. "Thanks for letting me be part of your real life," they said softly. They sat in silence for a moment, hand in hand, then Marvin said, "I'm a bit done with the bar scene today. Is it okay if we head out for some food and just have a quiet night?" Jules grinned, downed the last sips of beer in their glass, then said, "I thought you'd never ask." They walked toward the door, passing by the table Jules had been watching before Marvin arrived. As they approached, the conversation abruptly stopped, and the woman who'd been talking looked up at them. She and Marvin shared a glance, but didn't say anything to each other. The conversation at the table didn't start again until they were out of earshot. "You know her?" Jules asked, then immediately backpedaled. "Sorry, I shouldn't ask that. Your clients are none of my business, and I'm sure it's not exactly great advertising to see you with me, either." "My personal life is none of my clients' business. I'm not trying to keep you hidden from anyone." As if to prove the point, Marvin pulled Jules in close for a lingering kiss. After breaking free, he pushed open the door to the bar, and they strolled through the E-Zone, looking for a quiet restaurant. "But that woman isn't a client," Marvin continued. "She's... I'm not really sure how to explain it. Organizing something, I guess? She approached me to see if I'd be interested in helping out. That's why she was giving me the eye."
"What kind of thing?" Jules asked.
"I don't think they really know yet. Maybe a union? Something to try and get a voice back for the people of Mars."
"The people of Mars?" Jules laughed. "That sounds like some kind of communist revolution talk."
"Kind of," Marvin said. "We are in a strange place where there are these really clear divisions up here. There's Platinum Mars, which owns everything, the Mars Consortium, which runs it all, and us, the people who make it go. We're the only ones without a say in what happens. But without us, there is no Mars. At least, no Mars like this." Marvin gestured to the bustling dome full of people.
"So are you going to help them out?"
Marvin shrugged. "I don't know yet, but I haven't said no." Jules thought for a moment. "I get the feeling that saying no isn't really a problem for you."
"It's not," Marvin agreed.
"I'm pretty happy I didn't say no to you, though."
You've been listening to Retaking Elysium, a Mars Consortium story, written and read by M. Darusha Wame. For more information, visit darusha.ca. Thanks for listening.